Now, verse 2, and the revolters are gone deeply into slaughter, though I've been a rebuker of them all. God rebuked them for their brutality. That was murder, that was violence, and then that was warfare. Now, may I say that I may take a little different position today than the average conservative, and will you listen to me very carefully? We have fought probably the most disgraceful war that was ever fought in Vietnam and in the Near East against the warnings of generals who knew and who actually made a profession of being Christian, I think they were, like General Douglas MacArthur, that we should never fight a land war in Asia. We made a terrible military blunder by getting involved in that. And I believe that we made a terrible mistake and that it's tragic what's happened in that land. And the question still remains, did we help them? No. And I'm not sure, but what this is a judgment of God upon us and actually upon the white man. We have come through a day that's been called the white man's day, and it has been. At first, the sons of Ham didn't do any better. Egypt was under sons of Ham, so was Babylon, Assyria, and those were great pagan nations. And then we find that the sons of Japheth called the white man. And the white man has probably made the greatest blunder of all. And the great blunder is this. We had the Word of God. We had the Bible. And we didn't send missionaries as we should have sent. We didn't get the Word of God out to China. And God closed the door finally. And I say God closed the door, not communism. And then the same thing has happened now in these nations. We didn't send Bibles over there, so we sent bullets over there and bombs. We didn't send men over there to give out the Word of God, so we sent boys to die on the battlefield. I don't know. Maybe we ought to wake up today. Maybe we haven't reached the place where we can take God to the end of His universe and dismiss Him and tell Him we don't need Him anymore. My feeling is that we're feeling the effects of the judgment of God upon us. And that's what happened to this nation. Now, that is a pattern for any nation, by the way. Now, he says here in verse 3, I know Ephraim and Israel is not hidden from me. In other words, God says, I know what I'm talking about. Because I know Ephraim and I know Israel. And as we saw last time, Ephraim now is the name not only for just the one tribe, but for the whole 10 tribes that's called Israel, the northern kingdom. And as I said last time, I'm not sure whether it's used in the framework of being a term of endearment, and I rather think that, or whether it's really a nickname that he's giving actually of ridicule to them. I think it's really a term of endearment, but there's another reason. Ephraim was the very center of the idolatry. Now, the first golden calf that was set up by Jeroboam was in Bethel, and then later on, one was put in Samaria. And both of those places, I judge, are in the tribe of Ephraim. Now, I know that Bethel is probably actually in the tribe of Benjamin, but when the revolt came, this area went with the tribe of Ephraim and with the northern kingdom, so that the very heart of the idolatry is centered in Ephraim. And because of that, God gives that label to all of them because this is the very heart of idolatry, and that was the great problem of the nation. That was the great sin of the nation, of turning from God. Now he says, I know Ephraim. God knows what he's talking about. And Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest harlotry, and Israel is defiled. That is, this calf worship of Baal that had been set up in this tribe had defiled all of the other 10 tribes and even had its effect upon the southern kingdom. There's no question about that. So that the great sin was of a people who had the Word of God and who knew God and have now turned from Him, and they no longer know Him and no longer worship Him. And as a result, gross immorality, deterioration sets in every part of the nation, even the ecology of the nation. God said, even the animals, even the ground. And I think the curse of God is still upon that land. I can't see that a few little irrigated spots has made a desert bloom like the rose. If it does, then a rose by any other name smells just the same way, and there are not many roses to smell in that land, even today, my friend.